Amen. You know, it's just continually been around us, just reminders that God loves us. You know, I thought Pastor Steve brought such a powerful message last week on Resurrection Sunday. 14 people invited Christ to come into their lives last Sunday. Amen. How awesome is that? And also last Sunday, 18 people expressed their faith in the baptismal waters. And I mean, it's just been exciting. And it's just a constant reminder. God is doing an incredible work. And I want to tell you that I'm so humbled to be a part of what God is doing here. And I want you to know you are a part of what God is doing here. So many of you have shared that you've invited friends and co-workers and families to come, and maybe during one of the times that they came, God just opened their eyes to the truth of who He is and the truth of His Word, and God just did such a phenomenal thing. And man, last service, a guy came up and says, "Man, I see to tell you I'm sorry," and I don't know if maybe he was talking about me, and I didn't know what was going on. He said, "Well, I just heard so many rumors about this church, and I guess I probably believed a lot of them." And I said, "But I came for the first time today, and man, you guys do use the Bible." And we're going to use the Bible this morning. We'll continue to use it. I said, "Man, we believe in Jesus. We, you know, that He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And there's no hope for anybody except for Him. That we've all sinned. We believe that. We believe that we've all sinned. And that means if you're a guest this morning, we believe you've sinned. We know we have. But we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every one of us stand in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's the only hope that we have." What I love, we've been preaching through this book, 1 John, and what I love, John is writing to this church, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's always crazy. Somebody's always saying something, and John is writing just to remind the church of some incredible truth. So 1 John, beginning chapter 3, is probably my favorite passage in 1 John, because I think, for most of us, is this incredible longing to really be loved. And if you've been loved like in an earthly way, that means you've been duped a lot of times. And probably that even creates a greater hunger to truly be loved. Well, John is writing to the believers at this church because they've been duped. They thought they'd been loved, but they've been duped. And he's writing, it starts in 1 John 3, and it says this: "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I mean, what an incredible thing. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we could be called children of God. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. God loves you. I want you to hear that. Now, there's a whole lot of people talking about God all the time, and all they'll ever talk about is the love of God. But I want to tell you, John's reminding the church right now that you are loved. That God loves you, and I really want you to hear that. A lot of us, we come for a lot of different reasons this morning. Man, some of you come because you started dating somebody, and they like to go to church, and you want to show them that you're church going. And so you've come this morning, and I just got one thing to say to you. Welcome. I'm glad I've attended a few church services like that myself. And so I've been there. Some of you are here because it was a rough weekend, and you got some making up to do, so you think. "So I've had a rough weekend, but I'm going to try to, I'll go to church and God will really, that'll work it all out." It doesn't work out. God doesn't work like that. You can't earn what God just wants to freely give you. Everybody hear that? That was a great moment for somebody to say amen, and three or four of you did. No, it's too late. No, you missed it. That moment's been here and gone. God loves you. I really want you to hear that. And God didn't just say, "I love you." He demonstrated His love in that while we were still sinners, He died for us. His love wasn't just in word and tongue, but it was in action and deed, because He went to the cross before any of us even thought about getting right. He went to the cross. He died for us. His blood was shed for us. I'm like, I got good news for you. He loves you. He loves you. And it's not even, Pastor Steve talks a lot about religion. And man, religion will eat your lunch. It will eat you. You can never meet the expectations of religion, and religion's got some expectations. You'll never meet its expectations. You'll never be good enough. But I want you to know, God has some expectations too. But you know what? He will help you to meet every expectation He has. That's what the cross was about. That we would be empowered by God. Everybody hear that? By God. So there's a great tension in the message this morning. Because if you were tired of hearing me say God loves you, you probably ought to leave now. Because I'm going to say it about 40 more times before I'm done. Because I want you to hear that. Because the enemy wants you to think that you've done blown it with God. You've already blown it. It's kind of like, I like this girl when I was in elementary school. And we're swinging on the swings, right? That's what you do in elementary school. And so we're swinging on the swings. And the whole time I'm swinging next to this girl. I mean, she's pretty. And, I just started feeling something in my stomach. And I was thinking that it was love, you know, because she's pretty. And so we're swinging, and, you know, and I'm just looking at her, and she's just looking. I don't know what she was looking at, but I was looking at her. And so we're swinging. And all of a sudden, the thing that was in my stomach's now in my throat. And I could tell that I needed to make a departure. So I run as fast as I can, but about 20 feet away, everything that was in my stomach is now on the ground. I won't elaborate. I'll just say it wasn't pretty, you know. And she saw that. And when you're in elementary school, that pretty much seals the deal. That's it. That's it. So it was over. I blew it. Can I tell you some great news? You cannot blow it with God. Some of you come this morning and there's a lot of junk in your life and the enemy is whispering to you, God can never love you like He wanted to because you've blown it. And you know what you want to do? You want to believe that. Can I tell you something? Nothing trumps the grace of God. Nothing you've done is bigger than what God has done. I always get in arguments whenever I say what I'm about to say. Somebody gets mad. So if you get mad at me, email me at whittle@hillview.com. And I'll be glad to tend to your email messages. But I'm going to tell you are loved and you cannot get unloved. If you are a follower of Jesus, you cannot get unloved. The Bible says nothing will separate you from the love of God. And that means you. You can't even separate yourself from the love of God. Once you've invited Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin, you do that on His terms and conditions, not yours. And so He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so let me tell you, people say, so you believe once saved, always saved? And I say, no, I believe if saved, always saved. That if you've asked Jesus to come into your life and He's come into your life, He's not leaving. And He's not going to stop loving you. He's going to be there and you can't make Him leave. How great is the love the Father's lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. Now get ready. This will be an appropriate time to get up and holler and dance and run around. But let me say it first. And what we will be has not yet been made known. And what we will be has not yet been made known because He has not given up on us. He is not done. He is still working in my life to make me more like His Son Jesus because He loves me. So, what I will be has not yet been made known because He's not done with me. He is still working on me. Now that's good news, church, because that means He's still working on you. He hasn't given up on you. And I don't care how tough the weekend was, the week was, the month was, the year's been, He loves you and He's not stopped the work that He wants to complete in your life. He's not stopped. He has not stopped. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. That we should be called children of God. Now I'm going to confess, I got a bunch of kids, all right? Pastor Steve makes that painfully aware every week. Some of you only know me as Father Abraham, but I know that my kids aren't perfect. And I know that's a problem that a lot of parents have. A lot of parents haven't realized that. that their kids aren't perfect, but I realize my kids aren't perfect. I always ask when I pick them up, do I need to spank them? And the teacher's always like, no, they were fine. I was like, oh, you let me know because I spank them. We still spank in our house. It worked for me. But I'm going to tell you, I know my kids, and I know they're not always great, they're not always perfect, but I love them, and they're my kids. Let me tell you something, don't mess with my kids. Those are my children, and I know their issues, all right, but you don't mess with my children. We have been called the children of God, and God says to Satan, don't mess with my children. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. But the Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to discourage. And you know what? That voice is always out there. Pastor Steve told me right after I preached a couple weeks ago, went on vacation, and I heard somebody called to church, and they were concerned that I might be going to hell. And I was like, ooh, well, why? I mean, because there's probably some good reasons, but what reason did they give, you know? He said, because I was preaching and my shirt was not tucked in. Well, I assured Pastor Steve it was not spiritual. It was totally dietary. That's why my shirt wasn't tucked in. And I just told him, I'm working on it. I really want to tuck my shirt in someday, you know, but right now, it's out. And one gentleman told me, said, hey, all of us guys are extra muscular because that is what we are. He said, we all just ought to march around with our shirts untucked and that'd be a good thing. But you know what? Somebody's always going to try to discourage you. Somebody's always going to speak something to you that is not from God. And that has been spoken to the people of this church. Somebody's been telling them, oh, there's sin in your life. Well, then you can't be a Christian if there's sin in your life. If there's sin in your life, God's not going to love you, or God's not going to love you the way He wanted to love you, or God's going to withhold some of His love from you. It's a lie! Nothing will separate you from God. Is not holding back His love. I want you to know that. John is telling the church, you are loved. You are God's children. And you rest in that, and you know that that is the truth, and that that is certain, that God loves you. Now, I really want you to hear this, because somebody's going to say it. Somebody's going to speak it to you. Some of you are hearing it right now, even right now as I'm preaching. Some of you are hearing the voice of the enemy say, yeah, but listen, he's talking to church people. The stuff going on in your life's horrible. You know God don't want nothing to do with that. And you know what you sit there, and all you can tell yourself is, that's true. God doesn't want nothing to do with my junk. Listen, if He hadn't gone to the cross, I might could agree with that. But He went to the cross. He was willing to seal the deal. And He's willing to do that in our lives. I'll say it again. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Now, I have to be honest. I'm the biggest hindrance to God wanting to complete that work. Because God is showing me what He wants from my life, and I have to respond in that. Listen to what John says here in verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. I'm driving down the road, and my son's in the back, and we're talking. He said, Dad, I got to ask you something. And I said, sure. He said, did Jesus ever do anything wrong? I said, no. And he goes, you know, like, did Jesus have sin? You know, and it's just, that's a, man, I'm going to tell you, especially I'm going to tell you guys, that's an incredible conversation to have with your son. And I got to tell him, that's God calling right now to say, this is true. And I just told my son, I said, no, Jesus didn't have any sin. Well, I thought that was the end of the conversation. I thought it was a great explanation. I thought it was clear that even a 9-year-old could understand it. He says, Dad, if Jesus didn't have any sin, then why did He have to go to the cross? And then I really got to, I said, son, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. He didn't have to go to the cross, but He chose to in obedience to His Father. And God used that to open our eyes and our hearts so that we could have a relationship with Jesus. And I said, the truth of it is this, Sam. If anybody else had gone to the cross, all they would have gotten was dead. That's it. But because Jesus was the only one without sin, that made Him the only sacrifice, the only person who could have went to the cross and died and didn't have any power to it at all. So Jesus went to the cross in your place. And He went to the cross in my place. And I don't want to take that for granted. One of the funnest things I do is when people come invite Christ into their lives, I get to call them and talk to them about that. And it's so fun, and it so reminds me, because when I'm talking to these folks, usually on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, they're so excited about what Jesus has done. And you know what? Sometimes I forgot. I've lost that excitement. Man, I don't ever want there to be a baptism, and we're not ecstatic about it. And we're not thrilled about it. The people are giving their lives to Jesus, and we celebrate that. I don't ever want to get to that place. I don't ever want to be that church. I want us to be excited about it. I want us to celebrate that. And I don't want to take it for granted what Jesus has done in my life. You know, John is telling the church, there is going to be sin in your life. You see, there was a false teaching going around. Matter of fact, the very next verse, he says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray." Because they were teaching that if you're really a Christian, then there's no sin in your life. And I'm just curious. I got to ask, you know, at the 11 o'clock service, how many of you have sin in your life? Good, I was the only one at the 8 and 9:30. So, you know. You're my people. You know, John is writing. Now listen, the tension of this message is this. There's a great tension. I mean, obviously what John is saying is God loves you. But I want to tell you, God also has expectations for your life and for my life. And there's a way that we're supposed to live. And people say, so there's things we shouldn't do? Absolutely. Are there things I should be doing? Absolutely. And this is the Christian life. So there's a great tension in this message, and I'm leaning on this side because it's where John is at, that God loves you. And it's so interesting how John does this. I love this. He tells them not to continue in sin. He says, "He who does what is righteous just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God." I want to do my very best to explain this. And this is going to be repetitious. I'm going to tell you a few things that I know that I've already told you before, but it's worth repeating. You see, what John is talking about is people were running around telling them, listen, if you're really Christian, there'll be no sin in your life. Now, I don't know how many religious people you've met in your life, but there's a lot of them, and they've got a lot of things to say, and they don't even have 10 commandments. They got like 4,000 commandments, right? And apparently one of them's like tucking your shirt in at church on Sunday. You know, and one of the things this person said is, when I came to Hillview, everybody looked like they were there for a ball game. There was no respect. And you know what I thought? I don't even know what people wear. Because when you're in this place and we're worshiping God, all I can see is Jesus. It's the glory of God. I don't know what everybody's wearing. And I always have to remind people who are critical of worship, especially at Hillview. I said, oh, you must have been mistaken. We worship God at Hillview, not you. They never seem to come back after that. I don't know if that's not a loving encouragement. I don't know. But the truth is, John's telling the church, there's going to be sin. But you can't continue in sin if you're a believer. Can I just give me a little grace? Let me explain this just a little bit. Before I became a Christian, there was sin in my life, and I loved it. Maybe I was the only one. And I loved it. I asked the last few, how many of you know sin is fun? Raise your hand. Hey, that's pretty good. And the rest of you, you're doing the wrong sins. But before I had Christ in my life, when I had sin, all right.
I just need to tell the tech people I'll do the jokes. They just need.
Before I had Christ in my life, when there was sin, man, I was just waiting for the next sin moment, you know? I was like, woo! What's next, right? And listen, and I don't want to diminish, it's also painful. And also what happens here has a ton of regret and a ton of consequences. So please don't hear me minimizing that. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's fun for a little while, but it's death. And I was just waiting, and there was sin in my life, so what, big deal? Hey, there's sin in my life, so what, big deal? Well, then I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior, and my whole life changed. It was incredible. Matter of fact, I wouldn't preach if Jesus hadn't done what He did in my life, because I know that it's real. I know that it's true because of what He's done. But I got to tell you, not all the sin is out of my life. Here's the difference. Now when sin's in my life, immediately, because the love of the Father is so great, He immediately lets me know that there's sin in my life. Because He loves me. Because He wants me to be more like Jesus. Because what I will be has not yet been made known. And because He loves me, He shows me. So guess what? So I can't continue in that sin. Because now I'm aware of it. I'm conscious of it. The Holy Spirit, and that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to convict us and to grow us and to teach us and to show us. I'm amazed when I talk to some new believers from the church, and they'll say, Pastor Jamie, I've got to ask you about something going on in my life. I fear that maybe it shouldn't be going on, but I've never heard you or Pastor Steve preach against it, so I don't know why I feel this way. And I say, well, tell me what's going on. And it's amazing when you're a pastor. People will tell you what's going on. And you just have to go, wow. When people share, I don't think it should be going on. They said, you know, I've never heard you talk about that. Why do I feel that way? It's the Holy Spirit. Nobody's going to stand before God and God going to say, hey, were you doing so-and-so? Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have been. It was wrong. And nobody's going to say, oh, you're kidding. I had no idea. Nobody told me. That'll never happen. You know why? Because God will tell you. And God will show you. And people say, I feel like I shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, then stop. That's what I try to do when God shows me those things. This is what John is talking about. I can't continue in sin anymore. There's sin in my life. Everybody hear that? But I can't continue in it like I did without Jesus, because now Jesus is showing it to me. Now Jesus is making me aware of it. The Holy Spirit is showing me, hey, this can't be like this. This can't go on in your life. You can't do this. Or you need to be doing this. You've got to start doing this. And the Holy Spirit shows me all that. One of my favorite things I've learned from Pastor Steve is that the Holy Spirit is a discipler. The Holy Spirit disciples us. And if you are truly a believer, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you and show you those things that are right and those things that are wrong. Because sin dishonors God. And I want you to know that, because I remember as a kid, you know, they'd always, you know, would talk to us. And of course, you know, as a teenager, the big thing you heard all the time was, don't have premarital sex. Anybody ever hear that? Eight of you. Okay, good. Well, all of you have heard it after today. Don't have premarital sex, I'm telling you. But I remember people would always say that, and I just wanted to know why. Why? Or really, I wanted to know, why not? Why not? You know, somebody tell me what's going on here. And I remember one time my mom and dad were out in the hallway and I could hear them arguing. My mom saying, now, Chuck, you get in there and you talk to him. And we were going to have the talk. I was like 18 and a senior in high school, you know, but we were going to have the talk. And I remember we never had the talk. Just a book got slid under my door. A cartoon book. And I didn't know they made cartoon books like this cartoon book, but it was lit under the door. And I just wanted to know, tell me what's going on. And I remember nobody ever told me, now don't have premarital sex because God says it's wrong. Because God says not to do it. Now as a guy, here's one thing you get told, now don't do that, you might get somebody pregnant. And if you're a teenager, you're like, you might not, you know? But what I'm going to teach my kids, when I have this talk with my kids in like 20 years, I'm going to tell them, sin dishonors God. And He's gone to the cross so that my life would be forever changed. Isn't it amazing? Jesus dies on the cross in obedience to His Father. Jesus goes to the cross because that's what His Father wants and what God chooses to use with it. What God chooses to do with it is to make a way for us to know God personally and for our sin to be forgiven. So I don't want to teach my kid all the earthly consequences of sin. I want him to know the spiritual consequences. This sin dishonors God. The wages of sin, really, is death. And I want them to understand that. I want them to know that. John is telling the church here, do you know why you would even be made aware of the sin in your life? Because God loves you. Did everybody hear that? I want you to understand that. Do you know why I correct my children? Because I love them. Because I love them and I want them to know. And God does that with us. God wants us to know. So He'll make the sin of our lives, He'll make us aware of it. And it's not so we feel bad about ourselves. It's because if you're a believer, you should have a desire to want to be right with God. And when God shows me that, it's God giving me the opportunity to make that right. So some of you are here and you're really bogged down because you feel like there's a lot of junk in your life. You know what the devil's work is? To discourage you. The devil's work is to convince you that God doesn't love you. The devil's work is for you not to be who God wants you to be. But I want you to know He loves you. He's not giving up on you. And there's nothing you've done that could separate you from the love of God. Nothing. I want you to hear that. I want to tell you a couple things. I heard people say, we got to love this journey. We got to love this journey we're on. I'm going to tell you, that is a lie. Don't love the journey. Love Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but for me, the journey's gone to some dark and ugly places. And it's gone places I didn't want it to go. And things have happened on the journey that I didn't like. So don't love the journey. If you only love the journey, you're not going to be doing this. Love Jesus. He is all that you need. He is all that you need. He is sufficient. What He did on the cross, that was enough. Don't love the journey, love Him. I tell people all the time, God has an incredible plan for your life. And I've said it a lot when I preach, and people really take issue with that. Well, what is my plan? I don't know. Well, then how do you know it's great? I know the plan for your life is great, not because I know the plan, but because I know the God. And I know that He is great. And I know that what He has for you is incredible. And I know that you can trust Him. I want to close by saying this. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He prayed for this group of believers at Ephesus. And he prays this prayer. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul was saying, there is so much to grasp. There is so much to get in this. But if you only get one thing, if you can only grasp one thing, Paul says this, I pray that you grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love that Jesus has for you. Because I'm going to tell you, my life has never been the same. I want us to reflect on this cross. Easter is such a powerful time for those who call ourselves followers of Jesus. Because it was on that cross that my sin was paid for. It was on that cross that Jesus did this atoning work so that our sin could be forgiven. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Church, everybody look at me. He loves you. And He's demonstrated His love for you by going to the cross, and nobody made Him go. He went willingly. And it was a demonstration. The Bible says He loves us, and that love is demonstrated in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so, you know what? There's junk in my life. And there's stuff in my life that I know shouldn't be there. And there's stuff in my life, and all I can tell you is God's still working on me. He is still working on me. And I know that He's not going to give up. That I know He'll be faithful to complete this until I am what He wants me to be. And so I'm hanging in there and I'm encouraged because I know He's not going to let go. He's not going to give up. And man, every one of you that are here, this cross is so powerful. Not because it's wood, or but because of who was on it. That Jesus died and there was a cross and a resurrection. and we can sing, and we can lift up these words, and we can say, thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus. Thank you because He didn't have to do it. And it's the only hope that we have, is that Jesus went to that cross. And I found this past Holy Week that I hadn't thought much about the cross lately. I hadn't thought about it. I'd kind of taken for granted what Jesus has done. And I want us to have a moment this morning where I want us to reflect on this cross. Because God has an incredible plan for your life. Did you hear that? God has an incredible plan for your life. And you know what I found? At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. And I have found at the foot of the cross, there's a bunch of junk. Because that's where we take it. And He forgives us because He loves us. And so He hasn't given up. He hasn't missed it. He hadn't forgotten. He knows where you are. He knows where you're at in the journey. But He is hanging on. And He's going to be faithful to complete the work that He's begun in you. So for a moment, I want us to reflect on this cross and what Jesus has done for us. I want to plead with you this morning. This altar is open. Some of you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Man, I pray you'd come to the foot of this cross and say, I want to lay the junk down. And I want to trust Jesus, invite Him to come into my life. I promise you, there's a pastor all over the altar. We would love to pray with you. If you know you need a relationship with Jesus, I just want to ask you to come. There's a lot of people up here, so you just come and just come. And some of you, what God is saying to you this morning is welcome back. You may have felt like that you left, but He never left you. And you're back now, and He's reminding you today, He still loves you. He's not giving up on you. He still has an incredible plan for your life. And you know what I want to tell you? If that's you this morning, come to the foot of this cross this morning. Just come this morning and say to God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for never letting go, never forgetting, always being there. But right now, church, this altar is open, and I want to plead with you. Come. Some of you need to be baptized. Just come. Quit putting that off. Just come. Say, I need to be baptized. And one of us pastors would love to pray with you. So this altar is open. They're going to continue to sing, and I want to ask you to come this morning.